This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, even liberal pundits are giving President Trump high remarks for his first speech to a joint session of Congress last night. I was there, and I'll talk about it with Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, the founding chairman of the Freedom Caucus, a little bit later. We'll also get the latest from him on the effort to repeal Obamacare, which was something that President Trump talked about last night. And Wall Street is responding, hitting a new record today. But while most stocks are climbing, guess whose stocks are in the tank? Target. Target's stock continues to decline. Shares for the retail giant have declined from nearly $85 a share to around $57 a share since they decided to subject their customers to their gender-confused changing room and bathroom policy. President of the American Family Association, which has led a 1.5 million person boycott, joins me with the latest in just a moment. Also, did Facebook accidentally freeze the account of an Ohio homeschool mother of 10? I'm not sure how a mother of 10 has time for Facebook, but she runs a popular conservative blog, The Activist Mommy. Was it an accident or was it intentional because she wrote about how Leviticus condemns homosexuality? We'll talk about it with Elizabeth Johnston a little bit later here on Washington Watch. A lot to cover today, folks. Glad you're with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you happen to miss anything, you can find it all later right there at TonyPerkins.com. By the way, lots of resources there for you. You can sign up for our legislative alerts. Gives you real-time information, real action steps that you can take to make a real difference. Again, that's at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at T. Perkins. Okay, Target shares were suffering their biggest ever price drop in active trading on Tuesday. While some wonder if the discount retail giant is struggling to cope with the rapidly changing behavior of consumers, I think it's something else. It's not the rapidly changing behavior of customers, but rather the declining behavior of the retail giant. Since they decided to jump on the bandwagon with President Obama and the whole gender bathroom confused issue, and a boycott was launched, hashtag boycott Target, well, it's been nowhere but down for Target, and they've lost billions in value. They have had to suspend major projects that they had on the drawing board, while at the same time, other retailers are growing in their market share and their value. Joining me with the latest is the president of the American Family Association, who launched a boycott against the big box chain, encouraging shoppers to protest the retailer's dangerous fitting room policy. Here to talk about it is the president, Tim Wildman. Tim, welcome.
Hey, good to be with you, Anthony.
I was thinking it was your brother there for a minute.
No, I got a brother, but his name's Mark.
All right. Well, that's good enough.
But, hey, you know.
Well, let's talk about
Tim is here.
All right. Well, good. I'll take Tim. I'll take Tom tomorrow. Okay. Let's talk about the impact of, I mean, look, everything else is going up. The stock market hitting a record today, actually, hitting a new record. Everything is going up. Everything is blooming roses, coming up roses, with the exception of Target.
Yeah, I know. So what does that tell you? Just kind of what you said earlier. You know, let me remind people who don't know, or just to refresh everyone's memory, it was April of last year, middle of April last year, that Target announced, unprovoked, to the world that they thought, we think it's a great idea in our stores to let men into women's restrooms and changing areas, and we want the world to know about it. We're Target.
Yeah, and they made themselves a target for the wrath of consumers.
What they were trying to do, Tony, you remember North Carolina was in the news at the time, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Because of their situation there in the North Carolina legislature and governor there wanting to protect the women and children in their bathrooms and changing areas that the state owned and operated. Well, Target thought it would be cool to pile on North Carolina, you know, join Bruce Springsteen.
Right. Right.
And pile on North Carolina. And they thought, Target, that a lot of other Fortune 500 companies would fall in line behind them after they took the lead. And well, boy, were they wrong.
That effort stalled.
Oh, it stalled immediately. We announced a boycott of Target like a day after that happened. And within 1 week, there were a million people that signed that pledge. Now, that's a record as far as we could tell. You know, done some research on swiftness of people signing boycott pledges, and that took a week to get to a million. Now we're at 1.4, almost 1.5 million now, so it slowed down after that, but went to a million in a week. And that's families, quite frankly, Tony. That's not just individuals. That represents families who said, I'm not going to Target anymore as long as they have this dangerous policy. And that only reflects people who are, you know, a lot of people won't sign boycott pledges or won't sign anything on the internet.
Right.
So anyway, this has been devastating to Target. There's no question about it. I don't quite frankly see how their CEO can survive much longer.
Well, what's interesting here, Tim, is that the law in North Carolina you made reference to, which, you know, the kind of – it was Charlotte. Charlotte took the first step, and
right.
then the state responded to say, no, you can't force that on private entities. And then, of course, Obama and his administration jumped on to the Department of Education and Department of Justice. But the law in North Carolina, as the proposed law in Texas, SB 6, which Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick has introduced – allows private companies like this to adopt such a policy. They can do it.
Right. Yeah.
But here's why they're not doing it. It's because it's not good for business.
Right.
And so they want the cover of saying, well, no, we didn't choose to do this. The government made us do it. When in reality, look, people don't want this. The polling overwhelmingly, 66% to 70%, depending on how you ask the question, people do not want these types of policies. I think you bring up a great question, and that is, how long can the CEO of Target hold his position? I mean, he's running out of excuses to explain why the Target stock continues to decline, why everything else is going up.
No, you're exactly right. Target thought this would be cool, and they're a left-wing company. They're based out of Minneapolis. We went there and met with them after we got a million people to sign the boycott pledge.
Did you use the restroom while you were there?
Went to the men's room.
Oh, did they have a men's room there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got a men's room and ladies' room, like they do everywhere in the world and have since the dawn of civilization. Everybody knows this.
Well, not room. They had bushes back then.
Well, they had men's and women's bushes, though.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people don't know that. But this is it's crazy PC run amok, and it's cost them their stock since the boycott started is down 30%.
Right.
I mean.
Well, they've lost from, I think it's, I don't remember the latest number.
Yeah.
I'm looking for my notes here, but I mean, it is in the billions that they've lost in value.
$15 billion.
Yeah, $15 billion that they have lost.
The only reason he hasn't been fired, the fellow's name, I should know, it's Brian something or another.
Brian Cornell.
Yeah, the only reason Brian hadn't been fired is because they're trying to save face.
Well, but this is not the first time. You remember, you've been involved. American Family Association has led other boycotts. And I remember JCPenney took a turn left. And their sales declined, and they made a correction. They jettisoned the CEO, and they brought in somebody new to try to correct it.
Yeah, exactly. These companies, you know, they need to stay away from this. If I were a company, just sell your product, okay? Just whatever it is, just sell your product. You don't have to get involved in politics and making social statements. You really don't. I don't think left or right. You don't have to get into that. Just be neutral.
Well, in here, folks need to understand what's driving a lot of this is that a number of years ago, a lot of these Fortune 500 companies adopted what they call these affinity groups. These are special interest groups. They're almost like in Congress has different caucuses. They have in businesses, they have the LGBT affinity group. They've got every special kind of interest, with the exception, most do not have conservative or Christian religious affinity groups because they're, quote unquote, supposed to be the majority. And so these groups put the squeeze on the executives and, you know, they and you know this because you've worked with Procter & Gamble and Walmart. We've all met with them and talked with them. And this is what they do. What's happened is they are now, this is basically the tail wagging the dog.
Yeah.
And so the tail has thrown the dog into the street and he just got run over.
But
that's what happened.
Exactly, Tony. But what's happened good here is that you're talking about all these other companies saw what happened to Target. And they're saying, we're not getting involved in that one. We're staying away from that one. So they... The lesson has been learned out there, I think, most of corporate America on this issue.
On this issue.
Yeah, on this issue.
On this confused bathroom policy. However, I think they should take note that this is a new era.
Right.
You know, this is, you know, in post-Donald Trump's election, where Donald Trump took on the media and the elite, and he showed that you can stand up to them and they will stand down. Because they are the minority, not the majority, I think this is going to embolden more people to say, "Hey, wait a minute. This defies common sense. We're not going down this path. We're not going to do it." And they're going to, like in this case, they're going to vote with their dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think corporations need to take the advice you gave just a few minutes ago. If you make widgets and you sell widgets, make widgets and sell widgets.
Right.
Leave the public policy to the people. Don't get involved in that.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think Target's learning the hard way. And I think that, you know, I don't know what they're going to do to recover. I'm sure there's panic on their board of directors and among their employees because this is, you know, they haven't, this is April. Now we're coming up on, 6 weeks or so from the anniversary. And they've just done a nosedive with no sign of coming back.
So do you see, have you heard anything from the Target Corporation, Tim? Do you expect them to make any changes, or do you think they're just going to ride this thing all the way into the ground?
I expect them to. This is just me talking, speculative, without
I thought it was you talking. Is that your brother, Tom?
Well, this is me talking without any insider information.
Okay,
I'm saying.
I haven't.
We don't know anybody at Target. I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody that knows anybody at Target. I'm just saying... I think the CEO will have to go pretty soon because they'll never admit to the boycott. I doubt it unless they want to get 1.5 million families to come back to their stores, which would probably be a good idea, you know, to start recovery is to reach back out to people and say, hey, we were wrong on this bathroom policy and changing area policy. We're going to reinstitute male, female again. Please come back to our stores. I think that's the only way they recover.
Well, I hope folks will continue to stand with you, and I want to applaud you, Tim, and all of the team there at the American Family Association, AFR. Great team. Well done. All right. And tell Tom I said hello, will you?
I'm signing off for Tom right now. I'm going to go talk to Tim.
Hey, thanks for being with us, Tim.
Okay,
good to talk
to you.
All right. When we come back, we're going to take a look at President Donald Trump's speech last night to a joint session of Congress, his first. Even the liberal pundits are saying, yes, he looked presidential. He defied expectations. He gave a message that challenged America. We're going to talk about it with Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, and we're going to get the latest on the repeal of Obamacare. All of that and more here at Washington Watch. Don't go away.
From defunding Planned Parenthood to confirming a pro-life justice to serve on the Supreme Court, we're going to need your help to advocate for life in the digital sphere. Sometimes all it takes for truth to be heard is for everyday Americans to use their social media platforms to advance the pro-life cause. At Family Research Council's Pro-Life Con Digital Action Summit, a diverse group of advocates who are using the latest technologies to advance the pro-life cause helped empower viewers to better reach their community on platforms like Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and blogs. Speakers include Rebecca Buell, who was able to reverse her chemical abortion with the help of the internet, and Brandi Swindell, whose women's healthcare organization was featured in Cosmopolitan as a pro-life alternative to Planned Parenthood. Discover the amazing things digital activists are doing for life in 2017 and empower yourself and your community to do more at frc.org/prolifecon.
These days, health insurance is incredibly expensive, especially if you don't have coverage through your employer. If you're concerned about the costs or the ethical dilemmas of insurance, here's great news. There's an affordable, God-honoring alternative. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing community whose members share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. Best of all, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. If you're a Christian looking for a truly affordable healthcare solution, MediShare is just what the doctor ordered.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. You know, God has allowed us to go all over the country to serve as 8 Days of Hope. We've been to Illinois, New York, Texas, North Carolina, pretty much from coast to coast. And it's so awesome to meet homeowners. They're just so encouraged. I mean, sometimes we rebuild their homes. Other times we put a tarp on the roof or do chainsaw work. We have never charged anybody anything for our services. Very simply, we do it because God commands us to love others just as He loves us. If you're interested in being part of 8 Days of Hope, either with our rapid response team that goes anywhere in the country within 3 to 4 days of a disaster, or in our rebuilding efforts like we did last year in South Carolina, please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, click Get Involved or Volunteer, and we will notify you anytime God calls us to go and serve those who suffer from disaster. 8daysofhope.com or on Facebook.
You are listening to Washington Watch, and I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. All right, a number of polls are giving President Trump high approval ratings for his first speech to a joint session of Congress last night. I mean, even liberal pundits are saying, you know what, he did a good job. Give him a good grade on this speech. I was there in the chamber last night as he spoke. I did think he did a really good speech. He cast a vision for the nation. He took on some of the tough issues. I think he helped himself in every way. But join me now to talk more about this. Someone else who was in the chamber last night, sitting there on the floor of the historic House chamber, the founding chairman of the Freedom Caucus, our good friend, Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan. Jim, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you, Tony. How you doing? It was a good speech last night, wasn't it?
It was. You know, I would say the last time I was in the House chamber about a year ago was when the Prime Minister of Israel spoke to a joint session of Congress. So, I mean, the benchmark was pretty high. I mean, that I would have to say, for me, was probably one of the best speeches I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Of course, we were starved for leadership at that point because, you know, what we had was not much in comparison. I sat almost in the very same seat as I watched last night, and I thought we once again have a leader in America at the helm, and that was to me was encouraging.
Yeah, but I agree, and I thought the tone he set right from the start, which was such a sharp contrast from President Obama, when he said America's ready to lead, and think about that statement and the confidence you feel now in our country versus President Obama, who went on the so-called apology tour and then the dealings that the President Obama had with Iran and the terrible agreement there, and then the treatment he gave Israel. Just that statement, just like America's ready to lead, just conveys a whole different just sense and feeling and framework and context as we move forward. I thought that really just set such a different tone and such a positive tone I just thought it was a very good speech.
Well, and we heard some things last night that I believe, and as best as I can tell, and my team has tracked it down, the first time we've heard certain things from a president of the United States, for instance, his support of homeschooling, He said, I am calling upon members of both parties to pass an education bill that funds school choice for disadvantaged youth, including millions of African Americans and Latino children. These families should be free to choose the public, private, charter, magnet, religious, or homeschool that is right for them. And then it was a very interesting moment, Jim, when the president then went on to point to one of the people that he had in the gallery. It was Denisha Merriweather. Uh-huh. Who was a young girl, struggled in school, failed third grade twice, he talked about. Then she enrolled in a private center for education and for learning with the help of a tax credit scholarship program. Today, he went on to say, she is the first in her family to graduate, not just from high school, but from college. Later this year, she'll get a master's degree in social work. Everybody was on their feet except members of the Democratic Party. They were struggling to, and this is a young African-American girl.
Right.
It was like they were conflicted as to whether to applaud for someone who succeeded, but succeeded through choice.
Yeah, imagine that. Yeah, that they want to keep government in control, not parents, not individuals, not families. You know, school choice works because it empowers the institution that matters most, and that institution is the family, and it allows them to select the school that's going to be best for their son or daughter and meet their needs and allow them to achieve get on the path to achieving the American dream. And we saw that on display last night. It was a powerful moment. And the president, I think, just, you know, was great to point out it happened because we have this thing called freedom, this thing called school choice.
And that just is amazing to me, that the cycle of poverty broken by having a choice of a good education. Mm-hmm. And again, a young African-American girl who is successful and giving back. I mean, I know what it's a social worker is, one who gives back to their community. My wife is a social worker by training. So, I mean, it's not like she's, you know, gaining and running. I mean, she is gaining and giving, but yet they couldn't celebrate that. And that's very telling about the focus and the priorities of the Democratic Party.
Yep. No, it's choice works, and they don't like it because they're beholden to they believe in like big government control, and we believe in empowering individuals and families. So it was like you said, Tony, it was a great moment, and it's something that the Trump administration looks like they're going to champion, which is good to hear.
One other high point, which I mean, it was a very moving moment when the president recognized the widow of the Navy SEAL, Ryan Owens.
Karen Owens was amazing, wasn't she?
That really was. It was a touching moment.
It sure was. Yeah, it sure was. And then, you know, her emotion, and you could tell, you know, a woman of faith when she was pointing towards heaven, and the emotion that was there just underscored what an amazing individual her husband had to be and the sacrifice he made for our great country. It was special. It was probably the moment of the night, and appropriately so for an amazing lady and her amazing husband.
And then the president, after a long standing ovation, the president then went on to say, quote, Ryan's legacy is etched into eternity. For as the Bible teaches us, there is no greater act of love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Ryan laid down his life for his friends, for his country, and for our freedom. We will never forget him. Touching moment.
It's powerful. It's powerful, and it was well said by the president. It that moment was like what makes this country so special. People like Ryan Owens, his wife, and the sacrifice they've given, and then to be recognized by the commander in chief in such an appropriate way is, again, it just, I think, underscores why this is the greatest country ever, and we thank the good Lord that we get to live here and raise our families here.
Yeah, but the president, I hope, as he connected it in his speech, understands that type of sacrifice is rooted in a deep, abiding faith, and that is why we must protect that faith in the exercise of that faith.
Yep, no, exactly right, Tom, exactly right.
Jim, as always, great to have you with us.
You bet.
Keep up the great work on Capitol Hill.
We'll do it. Thanks. Take care.
All right, folks. Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio. We didn't get to talk with him about Obamacare because we were talking about the speech. However, we will get to that this afternoon. I've got plenty to talk about there. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about Facebook. They suspended the page of a popular conservative mom who blogs, activist mommy blogger, Elizabeth Johnston. She'll be here to talk about it. Was it an accident, as Facebook says, or was it intentional because of the content? That's coming up next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, it looks like we are seeing a stronger dollar continue. You know, the fact of the matter is everybody is waiting for the Federal Reserve to raise rates in March. They know it's coming. Everybody knows it's coming. I still believe that the Federal Reserve is irrelevant in the grand scheme of things, and I don't think it's going to mean anything to the markets or the economy. The only thing that we should be cautious about is, should the Federal Reserve raise rates a little bit quicker than they should? They've got to be extremely cautious on how quickly they raise rates, but I think a rate hike in March is appropriate. That's fine. We'll see where it goes from here. That has obviously impacted commodities. Gold is down, losing some of its steam, and of course, this is going to impact some of the other commodities as well. Wall Street's fear gauge, the fear gauge on Wall Street, that means there are people a little bit more afraid that we're going to see a pullback in the market. Of course, that fear gauge is at a two-month high. Doesn't matter. Listen, we all know stocks are overvalued. Believe it or not, stocks are actually better valued now because we are watching companies gain, as I've been talking about since Monday, gaining $3 trillion worth of market cap. That is huge, to say the least, and that has got to be good for valuations, right? Because the price of stock being calculated on a greater valuation of the company, so that is going to bring valuations of stocks a little bit more in line. So that's got to be good news for the long-term impact of the markets. All in all, I'm still very optimistic. I feel pretty good about the week. We did have one slight downturn, but that's okay. We'll see where we go after the president's speech to a joint session of Congress.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right, Elizabeth Johnson, a Ohio homeschooling mother of 10, yes, 10, who runs the popular conservative blog The Activist Mommy, says that Facebook recently suspended her account because she wrote about how Leviticus condemns homosexuality as detestable. Now, Facebook says, it was an accident. In fact, they apologized. Joining us now is Elizabeth herself. Elizabeth, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thank you so much for having me on your program.
Hey, great to have you on. I know that you and your husband, who's a physician, you have a passion for strong families, restored marriages, Christian education, revival in the church, all those things that, you know, we focus on here. You simply were talking about these issues on your Facebook post. You quoted Leviticus in what it has to say about homosexuality, and all of a sudden something happened. What happened?
That's right. I was banned for 3 days. Facebook said that my comment concerning homosexuality violated its community standards. And after my three-day ban, I came right back on and I told my followers, I have 75,000 followers, I told them what had happened, where I'd been for 3 days. And
kind of in a Facebook timeout, is that what it was?
Right, Facebook jail. And I reposted the screenshots of the scriptures and the commentary that I had been banned for. And Facebook, the post was going viral. And Facebook, very quickly, within just a few hours, banned me again for 7 days. And so I wrote a press release while I was on my 7-day ban. And it ended up being a worldwide story. And Facebook wasn't responding to the media who were requesting a response as to why quoting scripture and what it has to say about homosexuality was considered violating their community standards. But the day it ended up on Fox News and the New York Times, all of a sudden, we got an apology from Facebook.
Okay, they gave you an apology, but did they give you a reason that you were, now you were suspended twice, 3 days the first
no.
time? Okay.
They, well, I believe they were dishonest, they said it was a mistake. They said it was an error. But the truth is people are being censored all over the world on Facebook because they are quoting what the Bible says about homosexuality.
But this would have been a mistake twice, right?
Exactly. How could it be a mistake? When they banned me, they sent me a very clear message. These screenshots, these comments you made violated our community guidelines. And it is consistent with what I see coming to me from all over the world. Now that this has become authority, people are sending me their stories. They're sending me their screenshots and video evidence that Facebook is censoring conservatives and Christians. It's not just on the homosexuality issue. It's on the issue of Islam, if you oppose Islam. It's on the even people that are just posting, you know, pro-Trump videos and posts. They are being censored as well. I have unbelievable evidence in a file.
But now if you post fake news, they'll take that. Right?
Probably. Well, they've censored us in the name of trying to crack down on fake news. But I'm afraid that may have been a ruse to do what they were really wanting to do, and that's basically anything that they consider bigoted, call that fake news.
Well, I have news for them. It's the good news. It's not fake news.
Amen. Amen.
This was the first time? Is this the first time you've had an infraction like this in the eyes of Facebook where they've suspended your account?
Actually, about 6 or 7 months ago, I was placed on a 3-day ban as well. So I had experienced it once before, but this time I decided, you know what, even though they've apologized and placed my material back on my site, I thought they haven't apologized to all the other conservatives and Christians out there who, so many of them, have their pages completely deleted. Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's make sure that the world knows that when Mark Zuckerberg says Facebook is unbiased, that the world really knows the truth, that they are biased against an agenda that's not the leftist agenda.
Another question for you, Elizabeth. You've had some kind of liberal Christians that have criticized you for speaking out, saying you should just drop the issue.
Right. That's right. And I had that option. You know, I had to make a decision. Do I want to lie low and just thank God that I have my page back and not rustle any feathers? But again, you know, why is it that Facebook can discriminate against people in the private sector? Yes, it is the private sector. But,
right.
Tony, are we allowed to discriminate against people in the private sector based upon their religious or political viewpoints?
Well, according to the left, who demands tolerance, no. But, of course, it's a one-way street for them.
Right. I think that pointing out that double standard is important. I'm not going to lie down and just say, oh, thank you, and grovel at the feet of Facebook, who gave me an insincere apology.
Well, and I agree with you. And Elizabeth, I thank you for bringing attention to this, because I do think that, hey, the playing field needs to be level. If they're going to, I know they're private, as you said, but if they're going to hold themselves up as a place of community conversation, every voice needs to be heard. So, Elizabeth, thanks so much for joining us today. Great to talk with you.
Thank you, Tony. God bless you.
All right, Elizabeth Johnson, to find out more. If you'd like to find out more about her blog and get on it, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about this. Have you ever been suspended, put in Facebook timeout for things that you've said? Do you think there's a bias there among the social media world? We're going to talk about it here on Washington Watch when we come back. We're taking your phone calls, so don't go away.
Whoa, we have not had a response like this before. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these spiritual heritage tours for like 20 years. We're sold out for June already, if you can believe that. We've got space left on our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We call them spiritual heritage tours, and I don't know how long these September seats will last. To what do you attribute that to, someone might ask? Maybe it's the fact that we have a new person occupying the White House. Maybe that has something to do with it. But in any event, we welcome you to come with us on our September Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips. You can do both, or you can do one or the other. We'd love to have you. Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Join Norman Geisler, Richard Land, Michael Brown, Frank Turek, and others for Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Enjoy informative talks, a live debate, and a dialogue with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Plus, there's the premiere of the American Family Association documentary, The God Who Speaks. Register by May 1st and receive a special gift. Visit ses.edu for details.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. The First Lady of the United States praying a Christian prayer in public? Seriously? Sadly, your local township supervisor might be hesitant to pray at the local town hall. Yet here was Melania Trump praying the Lord's Prayer before a watching world. What have we come to as a people that we have such skepticism? For I know many of you had such feelings as myself. Who rules the United States anyway? Satan or God? We want God to bless America, and yet we don't know how to respond when the First Lady prays the Lord's Prayer. We want to cry out to God, Hallelujah, Jesus yet lives in America. Please, Lord, bring revival and restoration to our embattled America. Help us to be discerning and keep us from skepticism when it's unwarranted. Renew a right spirit within us. This is a Decency Minute. Find us at AmericanDecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
It is Wednesday, March the 1st. Glad to have you here at Washington Watch this afternoon. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines here, 866-372-7234. We were just talking with Elizabeth Johnston about Facebook timeout or their Facebook jail where she said some things. She didn't say it. Wait, let me rephrase that. She posted scripture, and what scripture says about homosexuality, they suspended her account for 3 days. She came back on, responded, said, hey, this is where I've been. I've been in Facebook timeout because I said this. And boom, she was in there for another 7 days. Now they have explained, or they have called, contacted her, I should say, and apologized saying it was a mistake. Was it a mistake? I don't want to know. Have you spent time in Facebook timeout? And anyway, do you think there's bias in our social media world? We'll talk about it, 866-372-7234. But first, I want to give you an update. I talked about this earlier. Obamacare. All right, last night the president said, I want you to repeal and replace Obamacare. We will do this. Now, here's the challenge, okay? The method through which Obamacare was repealed, the Congress passed a measure in December of 2015 to repeal Obamacare. Was called budget reconciliation. It's something they get to do once a year with every budget. It's only dealing with budgetary matters. And the key to that is it only requires 51 votes in the Senate. So it gets past the 60-vote threshold for cloture. The Senate operates by these rules that you got to have 60 votes to be able to have a vote on a measure, okay? So the budget reconciliation measure sidesteps that, and it only requires 51 votes. In a Senate that only has 52 Republicans, and as polarized as this place is, it's not easy to get 60 votes. I mean, they won't even vote. It'd be hard to get 60 votes for mom, baseball, and apple pie. So they use their budget reconciliation. Okay, but you can only deal with budgetary matters. You can't deal, I know I'm getting deep in the weeds, but you need to understand why this is important. So they can only deal with certain aspects that impacts the budget. So it really doesn't repeal all of Obamacare. It guts Obamacare, and it also defunded about 80% of the money going to Planned Parenthood. That passed both the House and the Senate, went to President Obama. He vetoed it. Okay, that was all designed. I was a part of working and structuring that to show that it could be done. If we just had a pro-life conservative president, we could get this happen. We could get it done. Okay, we now have that. But what they're trying to do now is in the budget reconciliation include a replace. And so it's like, I mean, it's trying to piece together like Jell-O. I mean, it's a mess, and it just doesn't work. Because they don't think they can get the 60 votes to pass a replacement. They want to try to put it into the reconciliation, but you can only deal with part of it. Well, here's the problem. They're going to miss the window of opportunity, and they're not going to get anything, and we're going to see the same thing. Once again, Republicans ran on a pledge to repeal Obamacare, and they didn't do it. There's no excuse this time. All they have to do is go back to the 2015 reconciliation measure. It's already passed House and Senate. They pass it again. It goes to President Trump. He signs it. Then the same grassroots wave of support that got behind Donald Trump and put him into the White House, you know, overcoming all of the naysayers and the opposition, the media, and so on and so forth, can also put the pressure on the Democrats who are in cycle next time to vote for a replace package that is well thought out and not a product of the Nancy Pelosi School of Public Policy. We pass it, then we read it. And then we have to deal with all the fallout for 6 to 8 years. So your role is to lean on your member of Congress and say, repeal Obamacare. Then come back and replace it. Don't try to do it together. You'll never get it done. Repeal it. No more excuses. The Capitol switchboard number is 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Repeal Obamacare. No more excuses. It's time. Repeal Obamacare. Then use your political capital to get a well-thought-out, well-crafted replace policy. Okay? All right. That's the latest. Okay, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Texas where Carol is on the line. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. So have you spent time in the Facebook timeout?
I spent time in Facebook jail.
Oh.
It was because one time I posted a photo of Islamics marching with signs. I think it was in Europe, and it said, Europe is the disease, Islam is the cure. And behead the infidels and things like that. And my comment along with the photo was that anyone who believes that Islam is a religion of peace doesn't know what they're talking about. That was my first time, and that was only 3 days. And what it was is someone had actually reported me for, like, hate speech.
Right. That's how it usually happens. So somebody reports it, and either they just systematically respond to those complaints or something's wrong with their process where they're not actually reviewing it to see if, in fact, the content is hate speech.
Well, the second time was when the Supreme Court said that same-sex marriage should be legal, and I basically was quoting scripture about what God thinks about homosexuality and the fact that the Supreme Court can think what it wants, it can say what it wants, it can rule what it wants, but God's rule, God's law is not going to change based on what the Supreme Court says.
Right. You can make it legal, but you can't make it right.
That's exactly it. And the thing is, I would say that about 90 95% of my friends are Bible-believing Christians who feel the same way I do. And I actually have a few friends that I graduated high school with who are homosexual. I don't know. I don't think that they report to me because they know my feelings on it. And I've told them, I love you. I don't love your lifestyle. And, you know, it was a whole thing. And I got another 3 days in jail. So
what did what happened? I mean, did they ever come back to you, or they just kind of put you in the timeout corner, and then after your time was up, they let you back on?
They let me back on after the 3 days. I did get a kind of a generic type, you know, your post violated our community rules, and I'm thinking to myself, what community rules? You know, people can post on here about how they want to kill cops. They can post on here how they want to do all these other things that are actually illegal.
Right.
But, you know, if someone talks about something that's simply wrong.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's come to a point where, you know, it's like, for instance, you know, a hate crime. I mean, I think if you are inciting violence, you are saying, look, let's do this to this particular person, or you're violating the law, or you're advocating for criminal conduct, you know, clearly that's behavior or that speech that is antisocial. But what they've done, they've morphed hate crimes, you know, that is actually, again, advocating violence to people, something that would hurt them physically. And so they're taking anything that would hurt their feelings and calling that hate speech, and therefore making that a violation of community standards. You see, the problem with that is that that is very nebulous. It is hard to define, and it's ever-changing. And that's going to be an ongoing problem if that's the standard that they use. It should be, as you said, it should be based upon something that violates the law, not someone's feelings. Carol, thanks so much for listening. Appreciate you calling in today. All right, let's go to Louisiana, where Steve is on the line. Steve, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I haven't been banned from Facebook for, you know, this topic, but I just wanted to say, you know, if that woman really looks in the Bible, she'll find so many more places where it talks about, you know, homosexuality being totally wrong. I mean, you know, Revelation 21:8 says there's a place for all liars, fornicators. Actually, it's all sexually immoral people, you know, which would certainly include them. And then, what I had first called, I had told the guy answering that Ezekiel was told by God, you will speak the words that I tell you. And, you know, we are being told God's word when we read the Bible, you know. And God said, if you don't tell these people, you know, what they're doing wrong, and they were to die in those sins, their blood will be on your hands. But if you tell them and they choose not to believe you, you know, then you will be guiltless of that.
Right. That's the role of a watchman. I mean, we see it in the Old Testament, but we also see Paul saying that in the New Testament, that I believe he speaks to that in Acts, that he says, look, I am free of any guilt because I have spoken the word of God in its totality. I have not held back. And, you know, just to be very clear on this, and I know that's what you're saying, Steve, that the Bible, as you made reference to the New Testament, references to homosexuality, and it usually almost always in the New Testament, I think there might be one exception. It is in the list of other sexually immoral and not just sexually immoral, but it would be both. I mean, lifestyles, choices, behaviors that run counter to God's word. But, of course, Paul makes very clear that the reason he points a lot to sexual immorality, both, you know, homosexual and heterosexual immorality is because that sin is not just a breaking of God's design, but it is a sin against the body. And so it goes further. It has lasting effects. But to your point, we cannot surgically remove portions of Scripture just because they're not politically correct. But we shouldn't also not just cherry-pick Scriptures that point to, you know, again, and the New Testament is very good about this. We shouldn't just pick things that we want to zero in on because it's the, you know, the sin of the day. But I think the reason there's such a conflict with homosexuality is because that is being pushed as normative, and any view that does not view it as normative is declared hostile, hateful, bigoted. And so a view that is not only has a historical base, but has a, more importantly, a biblical base, is somehow banned from society and conversations, as we saw here with Facebook. Steve, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate you. Listen, very quickly, going to take in one more call. Let's go to Paul in Texas. Paul, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Good to talk with you again. As I told the screener, that these principles, if you can call them that, and these standards of Facebook, what you see in the universities, et cetera, it all, according to former KGB agent Yuri Bezmenov and former FBI agent Cleon Skousen, explained that this is social justice concepts and social justice war, which comes from Marxism. This is Marxism. And the reason why the homosexuals are so offended is because ultimately they want your children. And the war is for the children. And they want to get a hold of them, and they want to shut you up, and they want to make you send them to the schools where they can teach them that there is no morality. There is no sin. There is no consequence. There is no payment for disassembling this civilization, which is what Marx wanted to do to begin with.
Right.
Is what his followers in our academia, in our courts, in our judicial system, in our lawyer aristocracy are all doing. And in fact, that war has been going on for quite some time, since Marx was emboldened by Darwin, and then the people who have wanted to eliminate certain things out of our Bible and eliminate things out of God's Word since the mid-1850s.
Right.
And you can see that J. Gresham Machen writes about the elimination of even Christ out of the Bible itself. He wrote that in 1922, where, you know, liberalism versus Christianity. And it's a great, wonderful read. It shows exactly where we are. But Skousen and Bezmenov's interviews with Bezmenov and Skousen, the Naked Communists, show you exactly what these people are doing.
And hey, Paul. Paul, we're going to leave it there. We're out of time. I want to thank you for calling. Folks, sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls today. Obviously, a topic folks want to talk about. There is right and wrong in the eyes of the left, but it's ever-changing, and it's whatever they declare it to be, unlike transcendent truth. Folks, thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow, Lord willing, and I hope you will as well. Until then, remember the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared and when you've taken your stand, there's no backing down. Just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.